Welcome to Conversations. I'm your host, Doug Doohan, and joining me today is Sydney Ballstad, who is the co-chair for the Seattle Out of the Darkness Walk. Sydney, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and to talk about this really important but difficult subject.
Yeah, so you're the Out of the Darkness Walk benefits the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. That's the AFSP.
Yes.
So, Sydney, tell me a little bit about your journey into working with the AFSP.
Yeah, definitely. So I think my journey with AFSP really started out as like my own personal journey with my mental health struggles coming into college, kind of leaving that safe space of home and being on my own, realizing some of the things I was starting to struggle with, and really looking for a community that understood and had resources like AFSP does. I joined the campus walk in 2020. And did that walk with my little brother, and that was really special. It was during COVID, so we had to do it at home. I'm from a very small town in Michigan, cornfields, so it was just us, and we made some signs, printed them out, and walked through the cornfields. And unfortunately, that journey kind of turned more personal. In 2022, I lost my brother to suicide, and it was a very difficult thing to go through in general, but also having just moved out here and to Seattle, having just moved out here, I think it was hard to feel isolated from the community I'd built through AFSP in Michigan. So I figured, why not try to join that community here? So I reached out to AFSP and ended up eventually becoming the walk co-chair. And I think getting to see it from the organizer point of view, just the way the AFSP brings people together through this shared experience and makes you feel so much less alone, is just a really, really beautiful thing. So I'm really thankful to be a part of the community.
Yeah, I think community is, you know, better than isolation. I think we all feel so isolated in any moment that we go through that.
I do want to say, I said I'm thankful to be a part of that community. This is something I always struggle with this community, is I'm thankful to be a part of it, but it also is like the worst community to have to be a part of. So
yeah, it's a double-edged sword, because you are glad for their existence, because it's helping, and you're helping people with your joining and being a part of it and participating, but it's tough to have joined that community. So yeah, I get what you're saying, and it's hard to say I'm glad to be a part of something when it starts with tragedy, you know. I think a lot of people, when I've talked, this will be my fourth year hosting that walk, so I've been talking with AFSP, and one of the big things, the conversations that we've had a lot over the years, is what does crisis look like? Now, you personally, so there's a lot of talk about, you know, this person seemed so happy, that, you know, they were, you know, so bubbly and outgoing. What does crisis look like? And is it different for everybody?
Yeah, I think crisis really is different for everyone. And the hard thing about it is I think it's different for each person depending on the day. I think you can be kind of passively in crisis for a long time. And I think that's typically when people are like, they seem so happy. When you're kind of passively going through this struggle with your own life, I think I'll share for my brother, it was passive crisis. And then one day things can just change so rapidly and you enter like an active crisis mode. And I think it's hard sometimes to see that switch, with it being so hard to like be open about that and to voice that. So yeah, I think crisis looks different depending on who you are and also like what day it is, what the weather is, it's so complicated.
Yeah. And if you're feeling those signs, like the beginnings of like the passive crisis, and you think maybe something's wrong here, what resources does AFSP offer and provide for people? So if they're feeling this crisis coming, how do they get out there and get help?
Yeah, I think if you're personally in crisis, whether it be passive or active, even if you're just feeling a hint of that, like looming doom, gloom, scared feeling. I think AFSP offers a really good variety of resources, including 988, the suicide hotline. Crisis Connections is, I know they have a local to Seattle group. I believe that they're through 988 and you get paired with like a trained counselor when you call 988. AFSP was part of an initiative, and I might get some of this wrong, but 988 was a part. AFSP helped 988 kind of reroute. So now when you call, you are routed to someone local to you rather than like randomly being routed. Talk Saves Lives is another one. And I'll circle back to maybe some more crisis resources, but I think Talk Saves Lives is so important because it teaches you how to navigate supporting people in your life that are in crisis. It can be really difficult to know what to say. I know for a lot of people that passive crisis kind of journey can last a long time. So knowing what to keep saying, when to change the language you're using, those things can all be really difficult to navigate. So that's a training that AFSP offers, and it's tailored to workplaces. It's tailored to different industries, different schools. So I think that's a really great resource. And then of course, support groups, which I think AFSP is kind of like one big support group with all of the events that they do and all of the trainings that they have and just connecting people. Yeah. So 741 is another, really great resource. And that's actually the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. I believe that's another one of their hotlines. And you get to then text with a trained crisis counselor. So I know kind of knowing where you are while you're in crisis can be really hard, but there's a number of resources that are there for you to help you.
Yeah. And I love that there's multiple options because look, we all are battling with our mental health, right? And I have anxiety. I talk to a therapist, I see a psychiatrist. And sometimes that anxiety causes you to not want to call. And so the idea of just being able to text talk to 741-741, it kind of removes a little bit of that barrier. So the fact that there's so many different ways to kind of seek out a conversation and that help is amazing. And
yeah,
on the other side of that, though, I think the thing that a lot of people don't truly consider is resources for family and friends who have lost somebody. And now you lost your brother, and you know, having a community around you is something that, you know, it's so easy to isolate. So what kind of resources are available through AFSP, and what should people be aware of when something like that happens?
Yeah, it's definitely, I think when you lose someone or you know someone who has lost someone, just the impact of it spreads so far. And it's the journey is really different for everyone. So I think something really, really great that AFSP offers is they kind of consolidate a lot of grief support groups. And if you go on their website, you can actually like go through them depending on the state you live in and kind of what situation you're in. I know when I lost my brother, I reached out to AFSP and they connected me to some sibling loss support groups. My parents went to support groups for parents that had lost children. And I have friends of my brothers that go to a totally different support group. So I think like really leaning into what kind of support you need is really, really important. And then I think being a friend or family member of someone who's going through loss, you of course want to deal with your own journey, but like you said, it's so easy and tempting to isolate because the emotions are so complicated and the relationships can be really complicated, but reminding people that there's people there to help them and resources there to help them can just like alleviate some of that stress. And I think for me, it's like being really specific about what resources I think it can be really easy to say, like, remember, like, you're not alone. I think hearing that versus, hey, I looked up these support groups for you. There's also these you could look into, like, do any of these sound good? And kind of like making sure you're actually helping your loved ones navigate that as best you can and have the capacity for, goes a really, really long way.
Right. And I'm going to speak from personal experience here, because I wasn't sure if I was going to say this or not, but, I lost a friend this year, a couple months ago, and there was a part of me that immediately felt like super guilty about the way I was grieving, because other people were closer to him, you know, and it's just like, well, this hurts other people more than, you know, and so there's just parts of me that, you know, kind of like pulled back. I went to some events, you know, and then some others that I didn't. And I just,
yeah,
the complicated feelings that you're going to feel in this situation. And that's why I think everything you said about the support groups and the different types of support groups is so important, because you got to remember that your grieving is not qualified. You know, it doesn't have to be the same level as somebody else's. And I literally felt that this year and was like, okay, well, yeah, that doesn't matter. You know, you're still impacted yes, of course, other people, you know, but it's tough. It's tough to realize that in the moment.
It is. It's tough. And unfortunately, grief does not discriminate at all, and can affect you and will affect you. I think with losing my brother and him having so many different friendships, like, I lose count. People will reach out to me and they're like, I loved your brother. He's my best friend. And I'm like, I don't know who you are. And that does not change the level of grief that you are feeling because of how close other people may have perceived your relationship to be, or even how close you perceived your relationship to be. Like, experiencing that loss hits you. I'm really, really, really sorry to hear that you lost someone. And hopefully, like, being involved in these events and doing whatever works for you kind of like helps accompany that grief. But yeah, it is really, really hard to, I think, to not try to like downgrade what you're feeling or put something in place of it. But really, like, the magic happens when you like sit with it, try to connect with it, understand it. 'Cause it won't go anywhere.
It won't. And to your point, I think being at the events, giving back is the one way that I think helps everybody. You know, you just, you're helping somebody else. So
yeah,
the Out of the Darkness walk is coming up, where all these resources will be on display, and everything anyone could want to know about the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, you can learn it. So tell me a little bit about the walk this year.
Yeah. So I am super excited to co-chair the walk for the second year. The Out of the Darkness walks happen across the nation. They're hosted by AFSP, and it's a day for people to come together as a community. There's tabling partners. There are resource booths. There's ceremonies. There's a really special thing called the bead ceremony that I know a lot of people really favor. It's a beautiful, beautiful moment. There's speeches. And then, of course, there's the walk. A lot of people will form teams and will make signs. We've had a couple people dress up. I know we have a group that wears tutus. And it's really special to come and to watch all these people express their grief and their love and to connect over all of that. It's one of my like least most favorite days of the year.
Right. Again, back to the double-edged sword.
Yeah. Yeah. And this year we are doing a fun event called Pours for Prevention as kind of like a kickoff event. So that will be the 7th
of October. And then the Out of the Darkness walk is the 11th. The 12th. I do multiple walks every October. Yes. So I'm getting those mixed up. It's the 12th, and that is, it starts when, and that's at Fisher Pavilion at Seattle Center.
Yeah, it is at Fisher Pavilion, and the Out of the Darkness check-in starts at 10, and the event ceremony will kick off at 11 a.m. So the first hour or so will be connecting, exploring, watching the speech, and then the walk kind of will kick off from there, and we'll come back. We have a really good closing ceremony planned for this year to kind of bring everyone back together before we go about the stuff we have to go about.
Right. So then before I let you go, two questions. One, what kind of help does AFSP need, and how do people sign up to help? And then secondarily, what lasting message would you want to leave with people listening right now?
Yeah. So to answer your first question, AFSP, there's a number of different channels through which you can support AFSP, one being fundraising, of course. Fundraising is not required for any of the walks or the events, but they do put their fundraising money towards some really, really great research, different programs that they run. The second way you can support AFSP is registering for these events, showing up, creating that community and that space for people. Thirdly, like spread the word. So I know at my workplace, I have the posters put up on the wall. I offer, like we talked about kind of earlier in this, is offering those resources that AFSP talks through, offering those to people you know are going through something. That helps kind of widen the impact that AFSP has. And then to answer your second question, I think I have been thinking a lot recently about when people are in crisis, like how can we help them? Besides like them knowing that there's these resources available. I don't know if you've seen, but there's like these sweatshirts that people make, stickers, and it's like, if you're looking for a sign, this is it. I, through wearing those sweatshirts and having those stickers, the amount of people that it's at least caught their attention, like I won't say it's that, I would never say like that stopped them, but I think just catching them, just like trying to serve as people's reminder that there is help, it's right in front of you, like, if you're in this crisis mode, giving them a way to snap out of it or support them. Just really like trying to make sure you're actively supporting the people in your life as best you can is so, so important. I think especially as we enter the holiday season, we enter winter. I think all year round can be really, really hard, but making sure that you're there for your people and for yourself, I think is the message I'd leave. So if you can get a little memento to wear around or put somewhere, it can make all the difference for someone.
I think you hit a couple of the mottos of AFSP in that closing thought. You are not alone.
Yeah.
And talk saves lives. So, yeah. Sydney, first of all, thank you so much for coming on today and having this conversation. I know it's tough to do, but it really is helpful for so many people, and I appreciate the work that you're doing.
Yeah, I appreciate getting to talk, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in October. And again, really sorry to hear about your friend.
Of course, and I appreciate that. Sydney Ballstad, again, co-chair of the Out of the Darkness Walk here in Seattle, which is happening on the 12th at Fisher Pavilion. And again, just one last time, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. Hope to see you all there.
And thank you for listening. Conversations is a public affairs program of the station.
Hey, it's Mason on MN94.1, reminding you that talk saves lives and inviting you to join us for Odyssey's I'm Listening, a powerful one-hour national mental health conversation this Sunday at 7 p.m. Hear from some of the biggest names in music and sports, including Alex Warren, Kylie Minogue, Kane Brown, Tate McRae, and many more. And get insights from trusted mental health professionals to help you thrive. Brought to you by Texas Health and Human Services Commission on MN94.1 and on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps. For more, visit imlistening.org.